Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent.
Thank you. So, as you listen to the lesson for Matthew, perhaps you wondered, where's Advent in all of this? There's nothing about a baby about to be born. There's nothing about Mary being pregnant with the baby Jesus. There is no hint of Advent in this passage. Or is there? Who here likes to judge others? Who here will answer that question honestly? I would like to see every hand up here, because honestly, we have all done that at one time or another, whether justly or unjustly. But this passage is about the final judgment. And if you've ever been fortunate enough to go to Rome or you've seen pictures, you know about the last judgment seen in the Sistine Chapel. It's a wonderful piece of art, and we have no idea as if the last judgment will be as it is depicted on that ceiling. We also have no idea as to what the end times are going to look like. So some of the worst Christian literature to be written in the 20th century finds its basis in this passage. And I'm talking about the Left Behind books. And this whole idea that we're going to be raptured up and all of the good and holy people are going to be taken up to God, and all those sinners out there are going to be left to deal with the chaos. There's nothing in scripture that says that's what's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that the last judgment is not really serious business. It is. It would not be here in scripture if it weren't. But there have been these attempts throughout the years, and I've alluded to this before, where people have tried to figure out the secret codes in scripture. There are no secret codes. God does not work that way. God is not looking to pull a fast one over you and me. The dinosaurs are not some kind of clever trick to make us think that they lived millions of years ago, but in reality, they were created thousands of years ago. No, God doesn't work that way. God is not looking to pull a fast one over you and me. That's the good news. The more difficult news is that we can't pull a fast one over God. And so I told you about one of my favorite bumper stickers before. It's one that says, "Look busy, Jesus is coming." You can't fool God. And again, there's a sense that if we can figure out the time and the hour in which Jesus is going to return, then we can fool God, because then we can go and gamble and drink and fornicate and do whatever bad things we want to do until 10 minutes before Jesus returns. And then we can do good things and look holy and everything will be okay. God doesn't work that way. And this is the only reference to Noah in the Gospels. Now, think about the story of Noah from Genesis. Everything looked fine. Everybody was living life as if there was going to be a tomorrow. Their children were getting married. They were having parties. They were starting businesses. They were plowing their fields. Nobody knew disaster was coming. And then it happened. God acts swiftly. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't afford us warning signs and signals. And I'm not going to go and preach a sermon on ecological justice, but we can look at what we're doing to the world around us. And we know, at least most of us know, that if we keep messing around with the environment, we're going to mess it up to the point where it cannot be repaired. That's a warning sign. And as people of faith, we believe that God has entrusted the care of the earth to you and to me So yes, we've got a responsibility to care for the planet. That's not me running off and saying, let's all become tree huggers. That's saying that you and I should go off and be, excuse me, good Christians. So we know that something is almost here. And that's not a way of saying that Jesus is coming back on Wednesday. But Jesus could come back on Wednesday. And Jesus may come back a decade from Wednesday. And Jesus may come back in 10,000 years from Wednesday. We don't know. But isn't it good and isn't it wise for us to live as if Jesus was coming back tomorrow? And that doesn't mean that we need to live as if the world is coming to an end. But we need to live as Christians. God wants what from us? Any guesses? Any answers?
Love.
Love? So that's a good start. So perhaps you'll remember the verse from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. God, what does God want you to do? And he wants you to walk humbly and to do justice and to love the Lord. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Those are the scriptures that Jesus knew. And those are the scriptures that Jesus wants us to follow. To love our neighbors as ourselves. To do the right thing. To care for one another. To treat one another with respect. Can we all do that? I think so. So you may be wondering, what is Advent for? Do we need 4 weeks to get ready for the birth of Jesus? Well, I've never had a child. My wife did. But I, as a man, have never had that experience. But I know that it takes 9 months for a baby to be born, give or take a few days. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. And assuming you know that you're going to be having a child, there's some preparation that goes into before conceiving a child. And leaving the preparation time to the last 4 weeks is really cutting things close to the wire. And I will remind you that Jesus is not going to be born on the night of December 24th. Jesus has already been born. That event took place 2,000 years ago. It's not taking place again. And yes, as people of faith, we like to remember the old stories and to remember what God has done. And our liturgical cycles are built around those memories. But the saving work that God has done in Jesus is already underway. And we need to be ready for that and to think about that. So I know I can be a bit of a stickler around what is appropriate for Advent and what is appropriate for Christmas. And I plan to put the creche set out today. I have no idea as to where the Holy Family is. I have no idea as to where the animals are, what they've done with the creche. I presume they're still somewhere in the building. But the fact that they're not here does not lessen our observance of Advent. In our house, we put up a little olive wood creche set that we got many years ago. And Rachel picked it up from Trinity Church in Boston. And it was made from olive wood by some Palestinians who live in the Holy Land. The baby Jesus does not appear in the creche set until Christmas Eve. We follow those rules, and they are in a sense rules, because we want to honor the season. And this is a time of examination. In some ways, it's like Lent. And of course, Lent is seen as a bit of a downer, and Advent is seen as a time of hope. But how much time do we have? And I think just about everybody in the sanctuary is old enough to remember when newspapers would run a little daily calendar. This many days left till Christmas, so you knew how much time you had left to go shopping. And now, of course, you can sit down at your computer and you can order things from Amazon. But thanks to supply chain problems, you have no idea as to when things are going to arrive. But there's a sense, I need to get ready. You need to get ready. And we only have 4 weeks to do that. We live as if time is our foe. There's not enough time. Some of us make bucket lists. A bucket list is a perfectly fine thing to do in the secular world. It has nothing to do with Christian living. We don't need to check off all the things we want to do in our lives and complete the list to determine whether or not we have lived a good life. Jesus doesn't care whether you have been to the Grand Canyon. Jesus doesn't care whether you have made that special meal. Jesus doesn't care what kind of car you're driving. Jesus cares about whether you love your neighbor, whether you're taking care of the prisoner and the immigrant, whether you love God with your whole heart and your whole mind. So we've got a lot of time to do those things. And the alternative is we have very little time to do those things. But the time we have is a gift from God. And I believe that we are called to use that gift wisely. So, happy Advent. And Christmas is coming. And I hope you're excited by that. But let's not rush to the end of the season. And let's make most of every day we have between now and Christmas Eve. And then when we get to the end, we can party. And hopefully we'll be able to appreciate why we should party. Now I say that knowing that our Puritan forebears did not like partying on Christmas. Christmas was deemed verboten in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts by the Puritans. But there are some traditions and observances that have lots of weight and history behind them. And Christmas was one of them. And of course, now Christmas is a really big deal. And whether you're young or old, Jesus is coming for you and for all of us. He's almost here. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Advent, for the gift of reflection, the gift of time of preparation. Help us to make the most of what you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.